Thanks to everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in Spanish Fork, Utah. We're going to talk today about encouraging yourself. Whenever I find anything humorous, which is on subject, I like to share it to start things off. So knowing that I was going to talk on this theme, something's been kind of coming up at me throughout the week on the internet. Maybe you've seen it too. It's the 10 top rejection letters of all time. And so I thought one of them might interface with this, and indeed, I think I found something that does. This is an actual letter that's written to Herbert Millington, who is the chair of the search committee hiring new professors at Whitson University in College Hill, Massachusetts. It's written by Chris Jensen. Dear Professor Millington, thank you for your letter of March 16th. After careful consideration, I regret to inform you that I am unable to accept your refusal to offer me an assistant professor position in your department. This is a fellow who's not easily discouraged. This year I have been particularly fortunate in receiving an unusually large number of rejection letters. With such a varied and promising field of candidates, it is impossible for me to accept all refusals. Despite Whitson's outstanding qualifications and previous experience in rejecting applicants, I find that your rejection does not meet my needs at this time. Therefore, I will assume the position of assistant professor in your department this August. I look forward to seeing you then. Best of luck in rejecting future applicants. So our topic today is to encourage yourself. One of the challenges that we face in life is discouragement. Our dreams don't come to pass in the way that we had envisioned or on our own timetable, and we go through disappointments and setbacks. And in the midst of all that, it's easy to lose our happiness, our joy, and our zeal for life. We're fortunate if we have family and friends to challenge us, to inspire us, and to lift us up. Coaches, teachers, spiritual mentors up there in the stands to cheer you on. But if we really want to live in victory, we have to learn how to encourage ourselves from the inside. When things get tough, we all have the temptation to throw in the towel and give it up. When we're getting near our breaking point, we say, "It's not worth it. I'm tired of dealing with this child. I'm sick of the discord and tension with my wife. I'm fed up with office politics. I'm just going to sink into my cocoon and settle where I am." In times like those, you have to be able to reach down into an inner place of stubbornness and say, "I refuse to settle where I am. I was not created to slide by, eke out a living, and fade into the crowd. I'm not created by an average God or a mediocre God just to live, eat, and die. I'm created by a great God to do great things, to fulfill great dreams, and to have great accomplishment. I am jewel-like. I am fashioned by the master of all craftsmen. And not only am I well endowed with talents and abilities, but I also have the promise from the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, that if I line up my purposes with God's purposes in the world, not only will He preserve what I have, but He'll carry what I lack. In any area in which I have shortcomings, He will make up for those shortcomings. Well, Charu, I don't have good looks like other people. I don't have an IQ up to the level of the most people I know. I don't have extraordinary talents and abilities. Listen, He wouldn't have made you in the first place if He didn't have something special for you to do. I read that the average person has between 400 and 600 talents and abilities. But if you don't think you have as much talents and abilities as most other people, that means you only have 400 as opposed to 600. Krishna is described in the Sanskrit literature as a source of all talents and all abilities. Wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, humility, renunciation. These chandeliers don't generate light, but they're very good. They're crafted in fashion to reflect light in a fascinating way. So we're not the source of beauty or talent or wealth, abilities, but we're generated from the supremely talented, the supremely beautiful, the supremely strong, the supremely wise living being. So we do have the power to reflect his qualities and thus to be a credit to him. If we do what God intends us to do, what he created us to do, what he put us here to do, we tap into the greatest power there is. Unlimited wealth, unlimited influence, unlimited fame, unlimited wisdom. That's why we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Because we don't want to wing it in life. You know, I didn't create myself, so I can't make up or imagine a purpose for myself. I don't want to do it alone. I want to have as much help as I can, as much direction as I can, to make good decisions. I want to have as much strength as I can to overcome my enemies and surmount the various challenges that life puts before us. So Krishna says, if you think of him, if you think of God, and of God's goodness, and of God's vast talents and ability, and of his opulences, you can never, ever be discouraged or down or depressed. If you ever need a boost, if you ever need to get yourself out of the dust, just think of the opulences of God. And he gives us just a few of them listed here in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I challenge you to feel depressed after hearing this list of the opulences of God, as he describes them to his friend and devotee Arjuna. Krishna says, listen again, O Arjuna, to my supreme word, which I shall impart to you for your benefit and which will give you great joy. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he undiluted among men is freed from all sins. He who knows in truth this glory and power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. Of lights, I am the radiant sun, and among the stars, I am the moon. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Of men, I am the benevolent monarch. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among subduers, I am time. Among the beasts, I am the lion. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of wielders of weapon, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. Of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. I am all-devouring death, and I am the generator of all things yet to be. I am victory. I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong. Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or unmoving, that can exist without me. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Here's the key to encouraging yourself. That Lord, who is the possessor of those extraordinary opulences, is looking for ordinary people through which to show his extraordinary power. Prabhupada, our spiritual founder, was not the youngest, the strongest, the most connected member of his missionary movement back in India. He might not have even had the most natural talent amongst all of his many, many fellow missionaries and preachers and God brothers. But he was the one who was most tuned in to what Krishna wanted. He was the one not only that gave prayers, but he also listened to that still small voice coming from within us, the answer to our prayers, the direction that God gives in terms of what he wants us to do with our lives. A key is don't spend all of your time with God telling him what you want. Spend your time asking him what he wants. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, it's a prayer, but it's a prayer unlike any others. It's not a prayer asking God to supply our needs, presenting our shopping list to Him. It's a prayer asking God, give me service. Tell me what you want me to do. And after having issued that prayer, we ask the Lord to tune us in, to make us sensitive to His transmission. What a lot of people don't realize is that the bulk of prayer lies not in talking, but it lies principally in listening. And amongst all of his godbrothers, Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta, noted that this young man, he's very, very serious about listening. And because he was a serious listener, he succeeded where many, many younger, stronger, more connected, perhaps even more talented people failed. And when Prabhupada arrived at the age of 70 in 1965 on a cold winter's day in Boston Harbor, having made a very difficult transatlantic crossing and having had two heart attacks on the way over, he disembarked, he came down the gangplank in Boston Harbor, he had $7 to his name. He says, I didn't know whether to turn left or right. He didn't know anyone in America. There were no friends, there were no family members, there was no one cheering him on, there wasn't a brass band to welcome him, there wasn't a ticker tape parade. It was probably one of the most desolate, potentially lonely scenarios that you could ever imagine. And everybody in India with whom he'd shared his vision said, don't go, Swami. America's not a place for you. You'll die neglected, homeless, on the side of the road. So sometimes we need encouragement, and those people who normally encourage us are not there. Friends move to another city. Maybe our coach has gotten a job with a different team. Our spouse is having a bad month. Our parents might have passed away. My mother passed away about 8 years ago, and my father had passed away several years before that. And when I went to her funeral in Pennsylvania, the lady who ran the hospice where she spent the last 2 years of her life, she said, you're an orphan now. And she said it because I had no parents then. But especially when the mother leaves, the mother is our fan, isn't it? The mother is always our fan, unconditionally. And that was true for my mother. She was my fan. Right or wrong, she was 100% my fan. And so when she passed away, and I heard the statement that now you're an orphan, it really, really hit home. I thought, yes, now I'm an orphan. But if we can dig down in those times, and we can encourage ourselves from within, we'll experience a real freedom. When we can muster up, even in the tough times, and overcome paralysis and self-pity, and push forward and do for God what we can do in the natural, then buckle your seatbelt, put on your hard hat, because then God's going to step towards you and complement what you do in the natural with what He can do in the supernatural. This is a poem that Prabhupada had written as the boat was approaching the shore of America. Dear Lord Krishna, I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this place? Most of the population here is absorbed in material life. They think themselves very happy and they have no taste for the messages of loving you. But I know your causeless mercy can make anything possible because you are the most expert mystic. Only by your causeless mercy will my efforts be effective. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all their unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, make me dance as you like. And sometimes in our life, not only do we not have people to encourage us, but it seems like everybody is unhappy with what we do. Sometimes it seems we can't do anything right. We're taking flack from all sides. But if you're blended in the crowd, if you're swimming with the stream, keeping your head down, doing what your peers expect you to do, then probably you would not be singled out for criticism in the first place. So let that criticism be your encouragement. Be open for comments, suggestions, constructive criticism, but some people are just hurtful. They're just mean. They just want to make you feel defeated and depressed, probably like them. So there's two important points about criticism by which you can encourage yourself. One is, if you don't go down to their level and reply in kind, if you take the high road, God will bless you for that. The more they heap abuse, the more they heap criticism on you, the more that you will be rewarded ultimately. You will be a peacemaker, and God loves peacemakers. And secondly, you must be up in the balcony, or you wouldn't have incurred the criticism and the envy of the basement people. And if you're being backbit, it means that you must be out in front. Because otherwise, why is it that they're biting your back? When you're in difficult times and the temptation comes to feel down and depressed, get the remote, change the channel, and think of all the times that Krishna or God has helped you out. I remember in the 80s and the 90s, this temple was just a dream. It was the furthest stretch of our imagination. It was the wildest fantasy we could ever possibly have. But the funny thing about it was it wouldn't go away. We couldn't dismiss it. It was persistent. And so we started talking about it. Could we get an architect? It took us 3 years to find an architect. Could we get some plans? Could we infect and enthuse other people with our vision of having a world-class Krishna temple in Utah Valley? Can we just get the foundation? Can we just lay the foundation? Because that will hopefully give some credibility, and then from there we can get the walls and so on and so forth. This is 2014. The temple opened June 23rd, 2001. This is 13 years after the dream came to pass. For 13 years, we've been living the dream and going from victory to victory to victory to victory. We are right now standing here today, 13 years after the... We are already so far beyond the fulfillment of our dreams that if there's a setback, a challenge, a legal situation, it doesn't matter, because God has taken us so far beyond our imaginations that we really don't believe that He's taken us this far in order to abandon us and leave us swinging in the wind. So similarly, the key to encouraging yourself is to replay your past victories. As you remember the great things that God has done in your life, faith will fill your heart. No matter what you're facing now, you'll know deep down that Krishna did not bring you this far. He did not thrust you forward in the past without fully intending, without fully having an even greater future for you out in front of you. You can get your joy back if you just change the channel. If you're remembering the criticisms, what didn't work out, how could you not be down and depressed? It's not rocket science. Whatever you're playing is going to predicate your mood. Now, Krishna's done something great for each and every one of you. Don't tell me He hasn't. That child, you took that first child as a gift from God. You got down on your knees and you said, "Thank you, Lord." That promotion that you got 5 years ago, that was amazing. That was a miracle. That temple that you opened 13 years ago, that festival that you organized, that meal that you cooked, that kirtan that you led, just ask Jai Krishna during the feast. Ask him, what was the favorite kirtan you ever led? And 5 hours later, maybe he'll stop talking. You cannot stay down. You cannot stay defeated as long as you're remembering the goodness of God. Every time I'm out doing errands and I come up State Highway and I come up the hill and this temple springs up into view, I just gasp. I think, glory, 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 glory that God has built this amazing facility in this place. I like to brag on what God has done. I like to shout it from the rooftops. I want everybody to know it. And in that mood, in the last few years, we've actually gotten 2 billboards on Interstate 15, one of the busiest freeways in all of America. About 3 years ago, we have a billboard for all those people coming south from Yellowstone and from Salt Lake City. It's just before the exit, Krishna Temple, Festival of Colors, Animal Park, Buffet, next exit. Well, just in the last month or so, we got another billboard for those northbound travelers coming up from San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas. Again, Krishna Temple, buffet, gift store, exit 253, Festival of Colors, last weekend in March. So I like to think of the northbound travelers going out of San Bernardino, that long, long, lonely stretch to Baker, which is often one of the hottest places in the world, although you can't tell anymore because the thermometer doesn't work. And then that long, long hill up after Baker, and then that descend into the exciting metropolis of Prim, Nevada, passing Whiskey Pete's, and just desolation, desolation, desolation. Vegas comes and goes. You go up through the Virgin River Gorge, and then you have a lot more miles. And after Cedar City, there's hardly any towns unless you count Panguitch, Fillmore, and your seat of your pants are sore, you're aching, you're wondering, should I even be making this trip in the first place? And then you come past Mona, you come past Santaquin, and you get abreast of Payson, and you're coming, you're cresting a hill, and all of Utah Valley is spread out before you. And there is a beautiful Mormon temple, a new Mormon temple there, right visible in Payson. And this billboard, this 16 by 48 billboard, springs out at you. Welcome to Utah Valley. Welcome to the Hare Krishna Temple. And I believe that when people see that, their tiredness, their aches, their pain, their frustration goes away. And they think, wow, if God could do that for the Krishnas in Utah Valley, maybe I should take some of my own dreams off of the shelf, dust them off. Because if that can be done, anything can be done. If God can do that for them, He can do this and that and the other thing for me. Glory, glory, glory to God. This is where Vyasadeva, the compiler of all the Vedic literatures, almost missed it 5,000 years ago. He compiled volumes and volumes and volumes of literature on every area of knowledge and science, and yet he found himself depressed. So he asked his guru, Narada Muni, how can I possibly be depressed? I know everything. I've written about everything. I've shared all kinds of knowledge. Why am I still depressed? And Narada Muni put his finger right on the problem. He says, Bhavata no dito prayam, yasho bhagavatamalam, yenaivashuna tushyata, manye tad darshanam kanam. In all that, you've neglected to mention, to spin out the spotless glories of the Lord. You've neglected to spread the fame of God. You have done all this, and you couldn't have done it if you hadn't been empowered and talented by God. But what you've neglected to do is now you need to turn around, and as your summum bonum, you need to brag on God. That my God is so great, He's so good, He's so powerful. Because the secret is, the more you brag on God, the more He brags on you. Just see my devotees. Just see these wacko, crazy Krishnas. They actually thought they could build a world-class Hare Krishna temple in an area that's 90% Mormon. Well, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to make the Mormons, inspire them to help out. Just in the early stages of the temple construction, we were invited to a fireside down here in Payson. And Chico Okazaki, the past president of the Women's Relief Society, was the guest speaker. And we were invited to sit in the front row, and it wasn't 5 minutes before she launched into her talk, 1,200 of our friends and neighbors, and she said, you all have a wonderful opportunity here to step out of your comfort zone and do something extraordinary. These people are building a temple to God. God is not Mormon or Christian. He transcends all sects, all denomination. He is great. He is glorious. He's not subject to designations. Don't let this opportunity slip through your fingers. Go over there, lay some sod, paint a wall. Don't be aloof. Don't be indifferent. Don't think of this as their temple. This is a wonderful opportunity to think of it and make it your temple. Glory, glory, glory. And you know Chico Okazaki? Later on, someone told me that she was fighting three, not one or two, but three different types of cancer at the same time. What was her solution to her own personal challenges. How did she encourage herself? She bragged on God, and she encouraged and inspired other people to also remember the goodness of God. That made her happy, and it made other people happy too. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sadhavariyam Aham, Sadhanam Riyam Mayam. It says, I am in the hearts of the devotees. We know many people, Mormon, Catholic, Jew, Mohammedan, Krishnas, who have God within their hearts. We feel that in their presence. They're lovers of God. Now Krishna says, the devotees have me in their hearts, and as the devotees have me in their hearts, I also take them into my heart. What an amazing statement by God. That those who go around thinking of me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, never taking for granted, always mindful of the instances of my goodness in their lives, I go around thinking of them. As I am never out of their thoughts and their heart, they are never out of my heart. All we have to do to have God going around thinking of us is to always think of Him. It's not because of who we are, but it's who He is. How high-minded He is, that He never takes anything, even the slightest service, for granted. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So be careful of settling for less. Be careful of the temptation sometimes in your life to say, well, it's not worth it. I'm going to throw in the towel. It's not worth fighting for. I'm fed up dealing with this child. My marriage is not going to work out. The office politics are just driving me mad. I'm tired of doing what's right. Hey, let me tell you something. If it was worth starting, if it was a dream that God originally embedded within you, then it's worth finishing. That marriage, that dream, that child, good health, these things deep down in our spirits, we know they're well worth fighting for. So don't you dare give into the temptation of giving up or settling where you are. God is not a barely squeak by God. He's not a go along to get along God. He's an excellent God, and we're created in His image. Maybe right now you're suffering from a setback. You might have a health issue, layoffs at work. Your company's not doing good. Your wife and you may not be getting along. Know that every setback is a setup for a comeback. You may have been knocked down, but you haven't been knocked out. So get back up, shake the dust off your feet, and get back into the game. He'll not only bring you out through it, but He'll bring you out better than you were before. We read this incredible story about a heroine named Draupadi in the Mahabharata. It's hard to realize the full import of this if you don't know the role of women in the Vedic culture. Women are sacred. Women can do no wrong. Women are mothers. They're wives. They're the very foundation of society. There's a statement, strike with not even a flower, a woman guilty of 100, even 1,000 faults. And Draupadi was the most beautiful, the most privileged, the most aristocratic, the most righteous. She was even an expansion of the goddess of fortune. And she had 5 husbands who were the most powerful warriors in the entire world at that time. Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva. So they were living incognito in the palace of Bharat. And Draupadi was in the women's chambers, and women did not flaunt themselves. They did not go out half naked in public. So she's there, dressing herself with her associates and all. And men don't go into that part of the palace. And this lout, this thug, kicks in the door, Dussasana, throws furniture here and there, manhandles them, grabs Draupadi in a half-dressed state, and starts dragging her out the door, through the halls, through the palace, out in public, and brings her into an assembly of lusty, leery warriors like Karna, Duryodhana, Dussasana. And Dussasana starts to try to take off her sari. He starts to try to humiliate her in public. And they all have the mentality that with their eyes, with their words, and maybe even physically, they want to violate her. She thinks she's so good. She thinks she's so better than us. Her husbands are so, we'll show her. You imagine if anything even remotely like that happened to an ordinary woman, how totally they would lose it, how they would get hysterical. This Draupadi's world is upside down. Never has she been treated like that, and she doesn't know why. But right away, she realizes that the battle is not out there. The battle's in here. She realizes that she's going to survive, and her husbands are only going to survive if she learns how to encourage herself. Her great husbands, from whom she's gotten so much support and so much encouragement, they're sitting there. She says, what's going on? What are you guys doing there? Why are you sitting here? Why don't you do anything? Why don't you come to my rescue? And they're just sitting there with their heads down, not saying anything, not encouraging her at all. And finally, she just sort of pieces together from the insults and the cracks and the ridicule. She pieces it together what's happened, that her husbands have been lured into a crooked dice game by Duryodhana and Shakuni and Karna, and they've lost everything. They've lost their kingdom. They lost their own freedom. They became slaves of Duryodhana, and they lost their wife. She has been lost, apparently, gambled away on a dice game. She keeps her cool. She keeps her presence of mind, even though there's mayhem, there's anarchy all around. And she asks this question. Did they gamble me away before or after they themselves became enslaved? Nobody listens to her. They're shouting, yelling, they're inflamed by their lust. And she asks again. She says, I have a question. Were they free men or were they already slaves when they gambled me away? And she keeps asking the question. And finally, Dhritarashtra, the old blind king, says, hold on a second. Do you hear what she's saying? Because if they were already slaves, if they had already lost their freedom to do, they hadn't got the right to gamble Draupadi. They were already owned by Duryodhana. They had not got the right to gamble away Draupadi. In fact, that had been the case. Dhritarashtra was so impressed with her coolness, her ability to encourage herself, and her rightness, and he realized that they, Dhritarashtra and his sons, had gone way over the top. They had way mistreated her. They were way, way, way in the wrong. And so he said, oh, noble lady, is there any way you can forgive us? In any case, I give you two boons. And she said, I want my husband's freedom back, and I want their kingdom restored. She went from being a victim to a victor. She went from being lost to being the savior of her husbands. She went from the dark valley to the mountaintop. And she and her husbands lived to see their enemies, Duryodhana and Karna, laid low in the dust, surrounded by jackals, all because she knew how to encourage herself. She knew that Krishna was God, always has been, always will be. He's always there, he's always good, he never makes a mistake, he never takes a break, and nothing is a surprise to God. And when all the odds are against you, your family's not there, your friends are not there, the news is not good, the economy is low, the price of gas is high, have the attitude, I'm not worried about that, because Krishna is well able to deliver me. He has lifted me out of the pit in the past, and he will again. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, whoso places me first place, lives for my satisfaction, gives up all self-centeredness, all sense of proprietorship, such is a spiritual and godly person. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. I know each and every one of you who are here today can look back in your life like Draupadi and say, were it not for the goodness, the grace of God, I would not be where I am today. Am I wrong? I should have had a nervous breakdown when I went through that divorce, but God gave me strength. I should have given up when my loved one died, but Krishna gave me a new beginning. I shouldn't be here according to the medical report, but because of the goodness of God, I'm still here and my best days are still out in front of me. You cannot stay down and defeated as long as you're meditating and recalling the goodness of God. Take your remote, switch off the defeat channel. Switch off the who hurt me channel. Switch off the why are they getting all the good breaks channel. Switch off the boo-hoo, poor me channel. Remember the good things that Krishna has done in the past and get an excitement for the better things that he's going to do in the future. Switch to the victory channel. Switch to the all things are possible channel. Switch to the life is a thrill at every moment channel. Switch to the bhakti, the devotion channel. If you'll make a habit of switching to the channel when you're getting down and depressed, your heart will be filled with faith and courage and strength. You'll be calm in the storms of life, knowing that you have what it takes. Even in those times when family and friends are not at hand to encourage you, you'll be able to encourage yourself. When family and friends are not at hand to celebrate you, you'll be able to celebrate yourself. When family and friends are not at hand to compliment you, you'll be able to compliment yourself. And ultimately, it's not up to other people to encourage you. It's ultimately our own responsibility to learn how to encourage ourselves from the inside. If you'll remind yourself of Krishna's goodness, think of how he's always been there for you in the past, and think of his promises for your future, you won't have to be dependent upon anybody else's approval. You won't have to pay any mind to hurtful critics. You'll rise out of the valleys to the mountaintops. You'll be full of can-do power, confident of his love and support. You'll know how to encourage yourself as well as lift up others. You are his parts and parcels, his sons and daughters. You are in his heart just as he is in yours. He loves you and yearns for your love in return. You need fear no evil, no setback, no loneliness. He is always with you inside and outside, in the beginning and the end, the past and the future, coming and going in this life as well as in the next life when you go back home, back to Godhead.